We are learning the letters of Rav Chanan Wasserman, Kovetz, Ma'amarim V'Igrot. Rav Chanan Wasserman was a top disciple of the Chafetz Chaim. He was also the head of a yeshiva. And this letter is going to discuss what Chazal tell us, that the mitzvot in a futuristic world will not... Well, the wording is they are bitelot, which we will loosely translate as they will become nullified. We have to understand what that means. So we begin. Binyan mitzvot bitelot latid avot. With regards to the concept of mitzvos being nullified in the future. Vaynu lachar techiyat hametim. That's talking about after the resurrection of the dead. Dilu limot ha-mashiach v'day yinagu kol ha-mitzvot. In the days of the Mashiach, in the days of the Messiah, undoubtedly we will still be performing all mitzvot. But when you'll have the resurrection of the dead, so then I guess we won't have to put on tefillin when we'll be resurrected. Lechora kashe. That seems difficult. Da'achad mi'ikarei hadat. One of the principles of Judaism is, shezot ha-Torah lo tishtane leolam. Rambam writes, one of the 13 principles is the Torah's never changing. How could we have this concept that in the future mitzvot will be nullified? V'yesh leva'er. So we should explain. Da kavana beikar haze shedinei ha-Torah lo yishtanu mikefi shenemru b'Sinai al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-Shalom. The idea that Torah is not changing is that just as Moshe gave us the Torah at Sinai, that's what's going to continue. V'gam zeh ne'emar b'Sinai. And at Sinai it was also told, she'le'atid lavo yiyu ha'mitzvot betelot. One of the things we were taught at Sinai is that there would come a time when our souls would come back, where our bodies don't come back, the resurrection of the dead, and at that time, we will no longer be able to perform mitzvot. The fundamental principle Rambam's talking about is that we're not going to invent a new mitzvah. We're not going to change the Torah. There will come a time where our state of being will be such that we don't keep mitzvot. We know after we die, we don't keep mitzvot, right? Well, after the resurrection of the dead, we also don't keep mitzvot. V'ad mitzvot betelot la'atid lavo gam zeh uchan medinei ha-Torah amtzuya etzlenu hayom. So this is one of the concepts, that in a future time, there will not be mitzvot. Yes, there will come a time when there aren't mitzvot. Now, that's not in contradiction with the principle that the Torah isn't changing. We all understand when we're going to die, we will not be putting on tefillin the next morning. Mind-boggling thought. There will come a day when you don't put on tefillin. You won't keep Shabbos. So, yes, there is a form of life where mitzvot are not, you cannot perform them, right? We know that mitzvot are given till a person dies. Once he dies, it's over. Person says, bury me in a talis, I want to make another mitzvah. Bury me with my tefillin, I want to accomplish another mitzvah. Doesn't work. We have an extraordinary concept that we can give charity, we can give tzedakah, and the merits can go for the deceased. It's not what we would have thought. Chazal teaches us this concept. A child can do merits for their parent. It's not what we would have thought. You know, if he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Finished. What can I do? No, Chazal say you can't. You can benefit your parents' soul. So we have this concept, and that's why on Yom Kippur we dedicate charity for the souls that passed. There are things we can do, but that's the exception. The general rule is when it's over, it's over. Then we get judged. What did you accomplish? What didn't you accomplish? So that's the first concept Rav Chanan Wasserman writes. Mitzvot will be nullified, yes, after the resurrection of the dead, not in the days of the Messiah, in a futuristic world. Od yesh lomar, we could also explain, dehan mitzvot betelot latid lavo, that when we say mitzvot will be nullified in the future, in a kavana, dezman shel latid lavo gorem shehitbatlu ha-mitzvot. It doesn't mean that there'll come a time when mitzvot are not relevant. Mitzvot are always relevant. Ela she'ameitim she'yichyu yiyu p'turim mitzvot. But when a person comes back from the dead, then they don't have to do mitzvot. Now that's an interesting question. A person was dead, clinically dead, and then he came back. Now that can happen. Sometimes people fall in a pond and their heart stops and they stop breathing. And because they sink, meaning the worst thing is there's a gap between the ice and the water, and if people stay up there and breathe, so then sometimes their heart can stop and things can happen from the cold and they can go brain dead. But if they sink, so then if they go cold fast enough before they stop breathing, then their mind can freeze. And then there are instances where a person is fished out of the pond and they're dead. But when they bring them back, they have no brain damage because the mind froze before the breathing stopped. Meaning that can happen. So if that happens, so wait a second, is he chayiv in mitzvos? Is he a Jew? We say, is that called the resurrection of the dead? We have the story of Jonah the prophet, right? He's brought back to life. Elio the prophet brings back Yonah. Elijah the prophet brings back Habakkuk. So now these children were dead and back alive again. What do they count? What do they count as? So we assume they do count, right? Our assumption is that when a person comes back, when they do artificial resuscitation, or when they do, what's it called, when they shock the person?
CPR?
Not the CPR.
Defibrillator.
Right. When you do a defibrillator, our assumption is, even though the guy came back, he wasn't dead. Our assumption is his mitzvos continue. So he doesn't have to remarry his wife. They're still married. It's not like he died. You came back. So coming back here, once a person dies and they're really dead, and then they come back with Tchiyat Amitim, so then, just as we explained, they were free of mitzvot, and now they're not. Now they're not obligated anymore. Yes.
When their brain froze, I mean, so that stopped all brain activity?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I learned this back in 8th or 9th grade. I don't remember. The verse says in Psalms and Tehillim, "Bameitim chofshi," and from there we learn "Agzerat haKatuv." The verse actually gives us a ruling. Kevan shemet adam nasa chofshi mina mitzvot. The Talmud tells us once a person is deceased, they're free of mitzvot. We bury a person in a talis, but he's not really performing the mitzvah when he's buried in a talis. He's not obligated. There's no mitzvah. And then we would say leolam that once you're free, you're always free. Afilu lachar sheyichyeh. Even when they bring the person back from the dead. Now this is relevant today. Says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, if a miracle happens, the Navi Yechezkel, the famous prophecy, he brought back the dry bones. So then, p'turin mikol ha-mitzvot, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, they don't have to keep any mitzvot. Can they convert? Are they Jewish? I don't know. But he says the Torah is not going to change. And then he says there's going to be an interesting scenario. You'll have people who didn't die yet, and they're chayv in all the mitzvot. Then you'll have the people who were brought back from the dead, and they don't have to keep Shabbos or Kashrus or anything else, because they died already. They're not obligated.
Have you heard of any Jews that's happened to, and then they just stopped keeping the mitzvot?
On the contrary, the Talmud says that there was a discussion in Talmud. Who were those dry bones that Yechezkel resurrected? Were they the tribe of Ephraim that left Egypt early? Were they Jews that were killed by Nebuchadnezzar in the valley of Dura? Who were they? So one of the rabbis says they were really brought back to life. It's not just a metaphor, because I am a descendant of one of them, and here are the tefillin I have from him. So the question is, why does he say, here are the tefillin I have from my father that we have on tradition? What's he saying? He's giving something tangible here. You see, he gave me these. But wait a second, were those tefillin that he had before he died or after he came back? Because according to what Rav Chaim Wasserman writes now, he couldn't write a pair of tefillin after he came back. He wasn't obligated anymore. So that this opens a Pandora's box, right? Do you have to remarry your wife? No, I'm not obligated to be married. What does that mean? No obligation, they could transgress Shabbos, they could murder, they could steal. What does that mean, they're not obligated? I don't know. Okay, it's not relevant to any of us, but I don't know. I mean, we see the contrary, that they were big tzaddikim. It says, Shalom ben Tikva. He came back to life, he went and had kids. He was very pious. Okay, I don't know. Third, V'achiluk ben shnei perushim. So we have two possible understandings. Either that when Moshe gave the Torah, he said, when that period comes of Tchiyat HaMetim, then the mitzvot will no longer be relevant. Or it's because people died. What's the difference between these two interpretations? Because it says in the response of the Radvaz, quoted in the book Emunat HaTchiyah, Deyu Shnei Tchiyot, that there will be two stages of the resurrection of the dead. Achad Pratit LaTzadikim Bimot HaMashiach. There will be a private resurrection of the dead that will happen initially in the days of the Messiah, where only the pious will be brought back. Achad Klalit, and then there will be a more massive resurrection of the dead. Lekol Be'olam Liyom Adin HaGadol V'Anocha. There will be this great judgment day, and at that time, the whole world will be brought back. There are two stages of Tchiyat HaMetim. Step one is the tzaddikim. Step two is the massive one. Now, according to the first interpretation, when everyone comes back, Moshe told us at that point the mitzvot are not relevant. But what happens in the days of the Messiah? All mitzvot are relevant then. Moshe Rabbeinu said, when everyone comes back from the dead, that's when you don't have to do mitzvot. So then if only the tzaddikim are coming back in the days of Mashiach, then all mitzvot are relevant. So the tzaddikim who come back are obligated in mitzvot. But according to the second interpretation, where technically anyone that dies doesn't have to do mitzvot and they come back to life, even the tzaddikim who come back will be free from mitzvot. And I would suggest that according to one interpretation of Rambam, we have a proof from Rambam, not like Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Yeah. Rambam says, what's the resurrection of the dead? I always say it's like Pac-Man. You guys heard of Pac-Man? Once upon a time, there was this arcade, handheld arcade game, where you had this yellow figure called Pac-Man who would go around eating these balls and get points for them. And there were ghosts that would go around, and if he'd bump into a ghost, that's it. He's dead. He lost the game. But every so often, Pac-Man could eat a special yellow ball. What color was it? A yellow ball. All the balls were white. When he'd eat a yellow ball, then Pac-Man would go wild. Then Pac-Man could eat all the ghosts. He would just go around. Nothing could hurt him. He was invincible. Now he could just go around the board, eating up all the points and the ghosts. You guys see? Now you see my deep, dark history, right? And the ghosts, and just win the game, right? So, I always say that according to Rambam, the days of the Messiah are like Pac-Man eating the yellow ball. Because what happens when the tzaddikim come back? Rambam says they come back to a world to get more mitzvos. So they're coming back to get points. But they're coming back to a world with far greater clarity. They've been dead. They've been dead maybe a millennium. And now they come back and they don't have the challenges that they had earlier because it's the messianic period. So why are they being brought back, says Rambam, to give them an opportunity to get more points? It's a gift. Here, you're being given another chance. But you're being given another chance in a world that's much easier to perform mitzvot. So Hashem says, go ahead. So that doesn't go with what Rav Elchanan Wasserman said. Because according to that interpretation of Rambam, the whole point of the deceased coming back in the days of the Messiah is to give them the ability to do more mitzvot. If they're not obligated, then what value is there of their mitzvot? A non-Jew keeps Shabbos. Great, good for you, so what? A guy once came to me and asked me, he said, there's a question about whether his conversion was kosher or not. He said, when they look back, they brought back the files, and bottom line, they're not sure. They don't know if he's Jewish or not. He says, what do you suggest I do? I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm married. My wife, my kids, all of us, we're not sure if we're Jewish or not. I said, what's your question? He said, what would you do? I said, you know what I would do? I wouldn't go to sleep in my bed tonight. I'd take the first bus out to the Rabbanut and lie on that doorstep and wait till they open that door and run in and say, please, let me finish this process. Because everything I'm doing, what value could be, I'm not doing any mitzvah. You're eating kosher. Who said you have to? Maybe you're not even doing a mitzvah when you're doing it. Why? The first thing I would do is finish the process. Make sure what you're doing. So, according to Rambam, well, obviously when people come back in the resurrection of the dead, they're obligated to do mitzvot because that's the whole point. As a side note, we might be in the Messianic era today. We don't yet have someone that we know would be the Mashiach, the Messiah. But Rambam's description of the Messianic era is that we're back in Israel and we have it pretty good and the nations are not persecuting us. We're allowed to keep Torah mitzvot. Well, we're living in a golden era with all the hardships we live with and the terrorist attacks and the threats. At the end of the day, you can keep Torah mitzvot. It's a pretty easy life today. I understand it's very hard. If you want to have a new iPhone every 3 months, new one comes out, you have to get the new one, and you have to get the new car, and you have to keep up with the Joneses. So then who has time for mitzvot? Boy, it's tough. But if you stop and you tell yourself, I have running water. Once upon a time, kings didn't live as good as me. You know, we're here, and if it's going to get cold, there will be heat. You don't have to go out there and hack wood and put little pieces of cardboard or dough in the cracks in the wall so that the cold air doesn't come in. We really have the good life. And if you don't see clearly, you just go to an eye doctor and you get glasses. I mean, we have the good life. People don't die of gum disease at age 15. The average person can expect to live to 70, 80 and be productive. We have penicillin. We have a lot of blessings. Life is relatively very, very blessed in the era we're living in. So it could be that we're not far from the Messianic era. It could be that we're on the brink and we have those blessings. Rambam says it's a huge merit to make it a time where things are comfortable so you can do mitzvot and not be bothered. Well, we have a time that's not so far from that. Okay. Yes.
So about the tzaddikim coming back from the dead in the Messianic era, that has nothing to do with helping with the redemption, since they're coming back with all this wisdom.
No, right.
It's only for the benefit of them.
Seems that way, yeah. So Rav Chaim Wasserman goes on and he says, technically we could understand this from that line in Talmud itself. Because in Talmud, in Tractate Nida, the Talmud says, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to bury the dead in kilayim. We know we are prohibited from wearing garments that are a mixture of wool and linen. The Mishnah says you're allowed to bury the deceased in garments that are a mixture of wool and linen. So the Talmud says, ah, really? So then that means that the mitzvos will be nullified in the future. Because otherwise the guy's coming back from the dead and he's wearing a garment that's kilayim. What are you doing? But how does that work, says Rav Chaim Wasserman? We said that first the tzaddikim will come back. And if the tzaddikim are coming back to perform mitzvot, so then how are they wearing garments that are kilayim? You'll tell me right away when they get back from the dead, they'll take off their clothing. But why would you do that to them? Why would you bury them in kilayim? And it says you're allowed to. You're not allowed to force your friend to wear kilayim, and that's what you're doing to a person if you bury him in kilayim. So he says, from here we see that the reason that they're annulled from mitzvot is because once you're dead, you're not obligated in mitzvot, even if you come back to life. So then I come back with the question I asked. Well, if that's so, then according to Rambam, what gift is there in coming back if you don't have to do mitzvot? But we'll leave that hanging for now. So we're going to pause here, and if you guys choose, we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next class. It's at the halfway mark.